tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Live Paranormal Radio Show. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. The other one is Rob Zarek. What's up, Rob?
How are you? So it's the Live Paranormal Radio Show. You forgot the Z.
Oh, so sorry.
Nah, it's okay. I forgive you this time.
Okay. It's good to know. I don't know.
Right.
Well, obviously, you're in a nitpicking mood. No need to ask any further.
Apparently.
Uh-huh.
You never know what you're gonna get.
True that. True statement.
I try to switch it up, but like when we've been doing it for so long, like I don't know what to do each time to kind of throw a damper into the intro.
Throw a loop. Right.
Yep.
Well, like every time before, you've done it, so ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it's my biggest concern and biggest issue is what am I going to say to throw you for a loop? But I'm glad I succeeded, so we'll see
what
happens next week.
Yay, score.
Change the whole show name or something just on a whim.
Right.
We'll have to wait and see. The suspense will kill everybody.
I'm sure.
And if it does, it will give us all more people to talk to.
Yes, it's true.
Which is, I guess, one of my other sad attempts at humor.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which I know we've been... Yes, editing video and watching old footage and stuff. And it's sad to say that I actually laugh at some of my poor attempts at humor. You know, like...
Wow, so they've gotten two laughs. Your original laugh at yourself and then you laughing at yourself again.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically it's two laughs are better than none.
Right.
I think since they come at different times, they're qualified. You can count each of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Someone's got to laugh at my joke, so if I do it in real time and again while I'm watching it, you know.
At least there's you laughing.
That's all that matters.
Right. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we've done a lot with psychic mediums, and our guest tonight, she actually had a show on Live Paranormal years and years ago. And it's good to, you know, welcome her back. And I was watching today the footage from when we did a candle reading, which when I say candle reading and it doesn't do justice to what actually occurred during that candle reading because it sounds like it would be so at best. But you know, that was pretty cool. So. Something I think we might put out, I'm not sure. There was little highlights from it, but you know, we use psychic mediums in all sorts of ways on our investigations.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
So I think I think let's bring Erica on. We haven't had her on as a guest in forever, and I think she's been avoiding us, but we'll find out right from right from her mouth.
Yeah, let's find out.
Erica, are you there?
I am here. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
We are doing.
I am recovering from the wonderful COVID, so I'm
sounding
like a frog right now, but that's okay.
If you would like, I can do my best frog impression for the rest of the show to make you feel better.
Oh, please do. Please do.
I wouldn't know how, maybe we'll just say that I'm doing it now. But it's been quite some time since we've talked, and I'm glad to hear from you again. And I guess even tell some news about you coming back and doing a live show with Live Paranormal.
Well, I am so excited to come back to liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com and Second Sight Paranormal TV and also my team, Second Sight Paranormal Forensics. Oh, it's such a long name. We're going to be doing a probably biweekly show on Live Paranormal, and we're going to interview some psychics, some holistic experts, a lot of paranormal people. We're kind of diving into the cold case, crime scene. I think we're going to just do everything, but we're going to keep it a little paranormal mix in it. But we look forward to having the different members of our team represent on Live Paranormal and post and share just everything that we're doing, especially with our TV shows that we're doing currently.
Well, I was catching up with your bio, but yeah, I'm familiar with you from the time you spent with Live Paranormal and just in general. And you know, you do the cold cases, and that's super interesting to us. I know we often use, you know, people with your skill set on our investigations, and maybe we'll have to start using you on some of our stuff. But when it comes to the cold cases, are there some that, like, how is it handling that type of setting? I would think that it could be taxing, to say the least, when it comes to some of the stuff you're getting.
Well, you know, I have to start back from the beginning. I mean, you know, it started when I was in college seeing these things related to dead people and murdered people, and then moving into a haunted house where I was tormented pretty much every night by dead women that wanted me to help them get found or to relay information to the family. It can be tasking, and I'm really pleased that we have so many criminal justice majors on my team. So as we embark back into that field, taking cases and, you know, trying to do some things with cold cases. And, you know, I'm also interested in, you know, a lot of historically haunted locations, reading them from my location in Pensacola, Florida. But as we go forward, you know, it is taxing, and I am so blessed to have a great team that can help me manage it. Because as an empath, I mean, it is hard to get in the body of someone who's the victim of a crime and to feel those senses, taste things, to hear things, to feel that fear. Because a lot of times in that emotion is where the messages are relayed. And to keep that balance, it is very difficult for that. I commend a lot of people that work in law enforcement because they take it home. Psychics feel it and take it home as well.
I can imagine. I know just when we go on investigations and you know, the setting or the scenario is what we would consider, like, off or odd or, you know, like, just something that it would be, you know, taxing for us. I can't imagine actually having those feelings of the victim.
Yeah,
the killer.
Yeah, I mean, it is traumatic to see your death, to experience a person's death, looking at the eye. I mean, a lot of people have had dreams where, you know, they've been murdered or they feel somebody's trying to kill them in a dream. As a psychic medium, people that do what I do, I mean, you sometimes have that, but it's in a reality, and you're literally hearing the voice or seeing the visions of a person who's, you know, been hurt, and they're trying to relay messages to you, and it is a scary experience at times, but I think it's necessary, and those that have this ability, we have to find our way to kind of to get it out and to help those that we're supposed to be helping.
Now, do you handle a lot of, I guess, cases, and not just cold cases, just hauntings in general? You had mentioned doing it from, you know, your location. Do you do a lot of remote viewing, you know, just from where you're at, and people call you like, hey, I'm here and I'm miles and miles away from you, but what are you picking up?
Oh, gosh, yeah, that's like one of my favorite things. The way our team is structured, a person will basically send in a form and say, hey, at my house or business is haunted. And then it goes to me, and I just basically talk to them on the phone, go inside their house from my location. Usually start walking around. I know that there was a couple that called me recently who heard me on Lex and Terry, and I'm like, I said, okay, I'm in your house. I'm going to the right in that bedroom. There's a shadow there right by the closet, and I'm describing all this stuff in their house. They're freaking out. But, yeah, so that's that is like the thing for me. If you got to have a fetish, I'm like a remote view haunted location fetish. I love
well,
the challenge of it.
We're totally calling you.
Oh,
yeah,
God, I welcome
and
this challenge. It is totally cool to freak myself out sometimes. Yeah, I'm kind of like a teetering in the danger zone, and then, oh, what? I mean, I'm that typical black person on television, you know. Oh, God, no, run, you know, but I am also still the investigator, you know. Let me look. Oh, I don't want to see it. Let me look. It's just kind of a love-hate thing that I've got going on with that. But I welcome the challenge, guys, yes, for sure.
Well,
I know where we've got a caller from, Rob.
Yeah,
I know where we
have multiple places.
I know. I've got a whole list
multiple
in my head
places.
Right now.
Bring
well,
it
you know,
on. Second Sight Paranormal, we love stuff like that, yeah.
We enjoy it, too. Like, it's obviously, we don't have that skill set, but we enjoy bringing it into our investigation because it's just another element. It's another element to, you know, use. And we've had a couple of places where we've had multiple psychics call and do remote viewing, and they've gotten the same thing. So, you know, that's always really interesting without
well,
– and we never tip anyone off.
Well, there's times where they've told us something that we weren't able to verify with the people who were present, but then later on I was able to talk to someone else who was more familiar, who actually owned the location, who was able to verify something that one of the psychic mediums who were remote viewing told us that was true. That was just like blew my mind. You know,
I'm gonna tell you something.
And they were, it was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something that freaked me out. We did the Myrtles Plantation. We did an episode that we named The Mystery of the Myrtles. When I was in the Myrtles, you know, I really wanted to kind of tie into the history of the land, and they could show me, and I know this sounds gross, but they could show me, like, bodies in the water. They could show me cattle in the water. They could show me buffalo. And when I had asked about, you know, the yellow fever and how it was spread, and they told me, you know, some different things that were kind of strange to me, like, you know, the water, the disease in the water, the maggots, the, you know, all this stuff that I'm thinking, where is this coming from in my brain? And I did some research about cattle and yellow fever, and they do carry, they can carry yellow fever. So it was just a lot of weird things that us mediums will pick up that are so good in investigations, because if they're getting the right source, they will definitely blow your mind and add to the overall investigation.
Well, and I think the way we address it, too, is we give no information whatsoever. You know,
yeah,
I guess the very little bit of information that you would require is what we would give you, and nothing ahead of time. And, you know, we went to a place, maybe like a month ago, and we decided just on a whim to call one of our psychics that we call. And he was actually buying a car, and he took time out and you know, did this for us. And he actually had, which was great for us because we were doing a live stream, and the person who was getting the information, the worker at the building, she was like just, her reaction was just like.
It was priceless.
A poor shock. And so, like, it was wonderful for filming aspect of it. And we give no information. So anytime we incorporate anyone who can do these readings, you know, I think people trust the fact that we have not tipped them off. You know, so, and I know we're going on a trip on May 9th and 10th. And that could be something that if you're free, maybe we'll look into incorporating it if you would be interested. I can give you I can't give you any details.
You can't.
You
sure
can't.
But
yeah.
I'm already there. Let me just ask you this. Is there wood, like, on the outer? Don't tell me where it is, but is it wood on the outer of the building?
No.
I'm in some place now where it's wood on the outer. I can go upstairs, go someplace, fire over here, dead man over there to the right. There's a little girl downstairs. Was that the location that you were before?
That sounds like one I'm at every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I go, that's my weird thing. Like, I just go from here, like I'm in my room, I go from here to someplace else in 3 seconds, and then I start walking around, and yeah, okay. I'm back to my house now.
Yeah, it could be, because the thing is, we travel around, and
a lot.
You know,
yeah.
Nikki works at a very well-known haunted location, and just an, you know, an inn. And, you know, she's there daily, but you could be picking up from us somewhere that we've been in the past year or two or 10 or whatever, you know, we go, we go all over, but recently,
we get around.
You know, there might be a couple buildings that would, apply to. What
I can think of two off the top of my head that sound.
Yeah, I mean, it feels kind of like the outer has wood, like not wood vinyl, but just like real wood, like I could touch wood on the outside, like it wasn't that way. It was that way before, maybe not now, maybe they've changed it, and I feel like I can go up some stairs to a second level. There's like a guy over here who's creepy, and then there's a little girl downstairs to me who died in the home. And then she's, like, trying to put out, like, maybe fire or something with her hands. So there could have been a fire or something at that location at some point as well. Then there's a cat that I'm seeing that would be there probably now. It's real. Yeah.
Did you say creepy?
Yeah.
Creepy.
Creepy.
You know exactly where, Rob.
Well,
he was, like, really creepy. Like, his eyes were black.
We have one,
creepy.
So we have one that we call it's Creepy Ed's house.
Creepy.
And then
right.
We also have Creepy Stan. So I don't know which one you're thinking. We have two creepy guys, which actually sounds more like Creepy Stan. But it could be Creepy
Ed. It does,
Ed.
Because of the living cat.
Stan, well, because here's the thing, is the people who live at Creepy Stan's house, I just took them a cat.
It's probably that one.
So that's
because the cat was real.
And that's the
like
one that
living.
I'm at every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
She's there all the time. It's wood. Creepy guy. He goes by Creepy Stan. I can send you the clip. He actually calls himself Creepy Stan. And we captured that. And the
there's
fact
also
that I just
like
took them,
three bodies. Graves in the backyard, someplace back there over there to the left. I don't know if they're marked or not because they just look like stones on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Oh, no.
Not
I'm going back in my house.
I should rephrase that. I can't actually see that like you can, but I can understand where you're seeing that from because
where
we actually.
From, yep.
We've investigated back there, and we've had multiple psychics stand in this one area and be like, hey, I'm standing on a person.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you know if there was, like, a horse or maybe wagon or something to do with horses on that land before?
Yes.
From the right-hand side? Okay.
There is
like
now,
I'm in the front, going like it's over on the right-hand side the way that I see it. There's also some lady there who I would say she's a spirit, too, that might haunt that location because I see her walking around. She could tap on somebody that sleeps there. Okay, back to the interview.
You're like, I'm done. Bye.
When we go there, or when I'm there, we'll have to call you from there, too. It wasn't what I was thinking, but now that you've described it, it's almost like to a T.
We got to do
and,
it.
And
well, I got access.
Maybe creepy.
Totally that.
creepy Stan is maybe reaching out to you.
No, I don't really want him to reach out to me. He's creepy.
I'll be honest.
Oh,
he likes to reach out to Rob.
Yeah, we won't go on some of the. I mean, it's. apparently, he does. It's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a whole vibe. Not a good one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
that's great.
He's, I hope he doesn't come home with me, but he might. You never know.
No.
He keeps
no,
creeping us over there.
If you take my ghost, you got to bring him back. That's one of the rules. There. They like our place.
I'll go visit him, you know, but, you know, that's about the extent of it. So, anyway, now that we've kind of went off track, like, completely.
But it was so much fun.
It was.
Now you have me thinking about Creepy Stan. And Creepy Stan is not someone you want us to be thinking about because it's, like, off-putting.
Yeah.
For you.
I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's all right. It's not like I it's just
he's
like,
my buddy.
You know, when you're in the mix of an interview and you're, you know, trying to come up with something,
he makes a visitation. He creeps you out even more.
Well, and that's the fun part of it, and you know, that's the part that we really enjoy as investigators is, you know, this particular spirit had what we would consider just a super creepy voice, almost like the point where. It was like a.
But he
self-admittedly
creepy.
Staged.
And, he self-admittedly
you know,
creepy.
Were,
he calls himself creepy. That is a whole nother level.
Yeah, that was what was interesting about this, and what makes it fun for us is we were shooting a trailer, kind of like a commercial for what we were doing that Halloween, and Nikki was not in a good mood. She was a little bit just not in a good mood, and you know this voice was coming through, and she's like. Man, you're effing creepy. And then I had asked, are you creepy?
I wanted to drink wine
slushies,
okay? I'd been there all day. I wanted to relax. And here we're filming this thing. And I'm in a bad mood. And all I wanted to do was drink a wine slushie. So I was not feeling it. So I might not have been in my best behavior, perhaps.
I was going to say it was your typical behavior, but then, you know, where's it going to get?
Stop.
Not that good. Yeah, so,
not anywhere good.
So,
right.
you know, what is funny is that guy does call himself Creepy Stan. So that is funny that you actually brought that name, or, you know, Creepy into it because it's unique and special to that building. And the more you described it, I think that was it. So that was cool.
He's
that was awesome.
Rob. That girl says you can keep him.
he can hang out with us. It's okay.
Well, you know, we'll put you in touch with him in a couple weeks, maybe when we go back.
Yeah,
when I go
that
back.
Sounds fun. That sounds fun.
She's still looking.
It
forward
will
to
be.
It.
We'll have a creepy old time.
That's right.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to cut him off. I'm going to just tell you what he just showed me. You remember those baby doll shoes that we used to wear a long time ago with the white socks? Is there a little girl there in that location that's been seen?
Yeah.
Does she dress in those shoes? Oh, God, that feels really creepy.
I believe so, yeah. Mm.
Okay, yeah.
Huh.
All right, back to the interview.
Where do we go from here?
I don't
know. Remote viewing, that would be a check in the yes column. You do the remote viewing, and you know I think we have a soul
for sure.
And you know I think that when it comes to you also investigate like we do, but you use your gifts. Do you ever turn your gifts off and just see what you get without using your gifts in any type of investigating setting?
Yeah, so we kind of always do the same thing. Like in an investigation, I try to do a walkthrough and the team kind of does the scientific thing. But there are times when, you know, I'm not able to do the walkthrough, so I'm just there for the scientific thing. But, I mean, I've been in investigations where we've had, you know, spirits say my name and where is Erica. I've had spirits do all kind of weird crap for me and to me. So my abilities for sure will always come into play in an investigation. But I am totally scientific. I mean, even when people do call me and say, hey, you know, my house is haunted, I'll be the first one to tell them, hey, that video footage you sent us is a bug crawling on the camera. It's not anything haunted. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so I am psychic, but I always tell everybody I'm a psychic skeptic. My skepticism a lot of times will outrule my abilities because people, you know, three scratches and, you know, 3 p.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning, you know,
uh-huh.
that all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm in your
yeah.
house and I don't feel anything haunted, but you've got a cat, maybe four, yeah, okay. Maybe that scratch mm-hmm. ain't the mm-hmm. devil, but, you know.
Right. Uh-huh.
Well, and I think that's the honesty that we can appreciate because mm-hmm. you don't just tell people what they want to hear. You know, because obviously
no.
their goal, a lot of them are they want to hear, oh, yeah, it's haunted, oh, yeah, you're right. And that's not always what's accurate. And that's the
right.
biggest downfall, I think, with a lot of the stuff we see on TV or we see on the Internet
mm-hmm.
is that they just go by, you know, what the norm is or what the standard is. You know, oh, there's
it's
a girl
like a checkbox
here, and of course,
criteria. Right.
Yeah. There's the girl, mm-hmm. you know, oh, yeah, she's still here. You know, but and I feel like sometimes the honesty is needed because let's say you go there and, you know, for the last 50 years, there's a historical, you know, it's documented supposedly that there's a girl there, but you're not getting it. You know, so
right.
I think the honesty of telling them, hey, I'm not getting that girl.
It's important.
It's
right.
important. And,
yeah.
You know, no one knows how it really works from our standpoint. You know, maybe more from your standpoint, but not ours.
Yeah, I mean, we do an investigation here at Seville Quarter. It is an active haunting. A gentleman died by the name of Leslie in the cooler, and he interacts with us, I mean, constantly. I mean, you can ask him to do something, and he'll do it. So it's an active haunting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I also have people that have had, you know, loved ones die due to trauma, and they're concerned, you know, when something will happen. There's a hanger in my closet right now shaking as I talk about this. Things like that, little validations.
mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are times, too, when there
stuff.
Are people that have creepy things happen, and they
right.
don't want
yeah.
that ghost. So it is good to be honest. I've had, you know, paranormal teams that'll people will see orbs, you know, because the camera will catch something like a bug. And instead of telling
mm-hmm.
them the truth, they'll tell them, oh, that's a spirit. And, you know, they'll send it
right.
to our team, and our team will be like, no, that's a bug. You can see the,
right.
the feathers. You can see, not the feathers, you can see the wings flying and stuff. You know, the
right.
formation of the flight is a bug. And then that homeowner is like, oh, my God, I'm so relieved you were honest with us because now I don't have
mm-hmm.
to pay this whoever to come in, and I don't have to move, and now I'm not afraid and all these other things. But teams need
right.
to be more honest. It's not all like television, you know, and a lot of people get freaked out by that.
Yeah. Well, then I think a lot of people want it to be like TV because they want, like, we've had situations where we've been, you know, asked to investigate, and it's like they are asking us to come in just so they can kind of keep going to another level, you know.
Yeah,
they want
so I can rent out my Airbnb and make it a haunted
right.
hotel. Yes.
Exactly,
yes.
yeah. And I'm like, you know, you called the wrong people because we're going to tell you how it is, you know. It's just, yeah, there's no need to make it something it's not.
Yeah. We had a Halloween activity or, you know, attraction here in Pensacola, and they had called out a team to do an investigation to make it legit. And then when the team was talking to me about, yeah, you know, back in the day there was a slave and this and this and that, and I'm like, what are y'all talking about? This is a whole made-up story. And they were, like, finding evidence, and I'm like, that's not valid. That's all. That's
right.
like it's just a scenario. And they
it's
were freaking
the story
out because
you.
Then they couldn't
right.
tell the lie that they had been telling.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's
yep.
the problem is I think after years it builds and builds, you know, there's a story about a you know, a kid or a lady dying or something. The next thing you know, they actually come up with a story on how they died. Or, you know, what, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't even figure out if that kid ever or the lady ever existed. You know, there's no documentation
yeah.
of it. It's just like one of those things that grows throughout the years.
It becomes a topa.
It
you
makes
know,
it
they
difficult.
Put so much thought into it that it forms its own, you know, you might actually be getting stuff that is saying that, but I don't know. I always think back to cases where there's been situations where there's actually no documented history of a person being there by that name, but the story almost has built and created an activity within the house.
We had a case here in Pensacola. It actually made Newsweek, and it was about a haunted home that was for sale, and it said you could buy a ghost by the name of Freya. That was the article. We came to found out the ghost name wasn't Freya. The ghost name was something totally different. He was the original homeowner. They'd been telling this story for years about this ghost, the historical society and everything locally, about a ghost named Freya. Well, Freya was not the ghost. So, yeah, just crazy,
I can see that. I would think overall, like the accuracy of the stories is probably very minimally correct on the accounts.
Yeah,
you know, and just because like a famous owner or somebody you know once lived there, that doesn't mean they're going to go haunt that building.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's what is deceptive and kind of ruins the investigation because you could be getting so many other like. Stuff could be flying around, you know.
Well, people put their blinders on. They only want to hear from that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I still want to go to Prince's house and communicate with him. Are you telling me that just because I go to Purple Rain Castle, I'm not going to be able to talk to Prince?
Yes, that's what I'm ruining your,
right.
your dreams. I ruin a lot of people's dreams. It's part of
it, Rob.
Dream killer. Mm-hmm. Dream killer,
right.
Rob.
Dream killer.
Yes.
I put that on my bio.
Yep.
Like, oh, you want to do that?
Even those purple orbs I'm seeing in my room isn't Prince coming to say hello to me. Rob, you just killed another dream.
Damn. Way to go. Dream killer.
Yeah, like that, what's that, the guy who does the Dr. Pepper commercials, Little Sweet? Have you seen that? The guy who was part of American Idol. And now he kind of like does the thing. It's like Prince. He's like a little version of him.
Yeah,
I haven't seen this.
That's who comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing that you know we come in contact with these things that like George Washington once like ate dinner there, and next thing you know they're trying to tell the fact that George Washington's going to be there. You know,
he's now haunting
the
place because he had such a good meal, right?
Yeah.
The correlation is so there.
You know, and I think that's the downfall, and it's kind of like what we try to stay away from. You know, and they're like, hey, you want to come shoot a documentary here because George Washington once ate dinner here. And
he's
I'm
here.
Like, you know, I don't know if that's actually going to fly. That's why we need the expert remote viewing, because then if you were like, George Washington there, and I see him sitting down eating dinner, you know, then that would be one thing.
Yeah, and we need more teams and more paranormal investigators that are focused on the legitimacy of things and, you know, able to tell the business or homeowner, hey, you know, that might be your experience to not discredit them, but this isn't what we're picking up with our equipment, you know, because if not, they're going to continue and you don't really necessarily do the one thing that we're supposed to be doing, which is help. I mean, they call us out allegedly to help them. And so if we're not, you know, credible and scientific, we're not really doing service to them.
Yeah.
So I agree with you guys 100%.
We like you because you agree with us.
Yeah, and you can come back. You can officially have a show. I was kind of waiting to see if you said that or not.
Well, thank you.
Pass.
I think it helps.
Pass.
Thank you. I think it helps having, you know, pretty much everybody on my team right now has a legal background. We have a police officer. We have an attorney. We have, three or four, you know, criminal justice majors. And so beyond those, and so they are very scientific legal people. The way they think are a lot different from me. Yet there, some of them are very intuitive, but they're all about the facts, and they're all about the research. They're all about the scientific method of paranormal investigating. And they really, truly want to help the client or business, but they also want to know the truth. You know, so they don't shortcut things, and they're point blank, period, black and white. And I love that about our team.
And that's important. That is so important. That's awesome.
Yeah. I am a blessed psychic medium with a great team. And I can't wait to see them bring that to Live Paranormal because, you know, I am inspired with the different type of guest that we're going to have. I know Scotty Roberts has agreed to come on and talk about things. And we have some other guests that we definitely want to have on as well. So it'll be a very diverse podcast.
Very cool.
That's good. You know, you can hit all aspects of the term paranormal, which, you know, we find that a lot of times people just think paranormal is ghosts. But, you know, it's not. You know.
It's multifaceted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very broad term.
Para is pretty much with everything,
yeah. If you can bring that into the live show, I think that would be, you know, all different aspects of the term. And, you know, so that means we need you to get down to the bottom line on Bigfoot, too. So you need to let us know if Bigfoot's real, where he's at, and you can remote onto
I've never really been interested in the Bigfoot, and I was thinking, you know, that they pretty much have solved the Nessie thing with the whole whale thing that I won't say. I've been seeing this week going around describing what Nessie really is, you know, a whale penis, by the way. And so, you know, that ruined it for me. I don't want to ruin it for somebody, but, Bigfoot, I'm going to leave that to King Gerhard and the Monster Quest people, but y'all stick with the dead people.
I like the dead people better, too. Definitely.
Well, I know you said you're recovering from not feeling well. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll definitely let you go and definitely want you to come back as a guest, not just a show host. And I think there might be some more stuff that we can do after this, you know, awesome interview. I think we have some dates and some things that, you know, maybe you'd want to get involved with and, you know, it would help, you know, promote you, promote your team and just be fun. So
sounds fun.
We'll
I'm up for the challenge
on that too.
Yeah, sounds good.
Like I said, I want to give you more information, but now, you know, we know that
you
can't do that.
Cut off.
Yeah, you don't have to, trust me. Yeah.
I
think for me it's best not to know anyway, and that's just how I roll. I always tell my clients when I talk to them, don't tell me anything. If they start, I'll stop them. I'll say, nope. Because for me it's to use your ability to be scientific to make someone really believe in what you say and to keep the credibility that I have. It's very important that, you know, I'm on a DL, not no kind of vibe. So I'm cool with that.
Well, the only
thing
I can tell you for sure is I can tell you the date and I can give you a roundabout time. Because if I tell you an exact time, it's never going to happen. Roundabout time.
Never.
In a huge time frame, too. So, like, we'll just make you wait because it'll be like 8 to 10. I'll say 8 o'clock, and next thing you know, it's like 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh, because, you know, when you're in the heat of an investigation or setting up or something or, you know, filming it and stuff, it never is what you think.
Time doesn't work on our side,
We could be there, like, a week early and be like, hey, we could be on a 1st. And we're like, hey, we're calling you on a 9th. And we still would have, like, something happen right at, like, the 8 o'clock time. So, we have a window about, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes that will, that much I know.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
But, keep me informed. We'll do what we got to do. I'll
very
be out
cool.
of the country soon, but I'm sure we'll work it out.
Very cool.
Well, if not this time, then another time, but hopefully you'll be available when we're going on this, this trip. But before we let you go, is there any way I know that you're going to want to promote anything. So, you know, where can people get a reading? You know, give us the good plug.
Well, you know, secondsightparanormal.com is our show and also our team. We also broadcast on some of your streaming networks, but we're also on paraflix.com. We'll be on liveparanormal.com and ghosthunting.com. You can check out a reading from me at coldcasepsychic.com. But we really want you to add us on social media. You know, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And follow us on liveparanormal.com so you can figure out what we're doing and make sure you join in and join the show.
Very good.
Awesome. So we will talk to you soon, and we appreciate you coming on tonight, especially that you weren't feeling great. And
yeah,
I look forward to having
you. Thank you. All right, thank you. So nice joining you tonight, and y'all have a blessed night. Stay safe, okay?
All right, you too.
Thank you much.
All right, bye bye.
So that was, I think, a good interview. I think that we definitely
can. Yeah, Creepy Stan strikes again.
Goddamn Creepy Stan.
Yeah, we just can't get enough. Creepy Stan. That's funny.
It is. And at first, when she was saying that, I was thinking Creepy Ed.
Yeah.
Which I guess maybe we named too many people Creepy. The Creepy Stan named himself. And
he
maybe
named
we
himself,
named Creepy
dude.
Ed, Creepy Ed, because... And Creepy Ed is straight creepy, so I guess, you know, what can you do? But, you know, with the... I can't remember if she said the girl was the ghost or, you know, with the girl and the cat that's alive and Creepy Stan, you know. And I believe she said the girl was on the second floor, so I think that was pretty, you know, accurate as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So maybe the next time we'll have her do something there, especially if she's getting that from, you know, our interview. Maybe there's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I think so.
Like maybe someone can't. Maybe someone's having a hard time sleeping or something. And
ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Could be
an
issue.
Uh-oh. Maybe that.
Looks
maybe
like I'm going to have to make a phone call after the show.
And maybe it's the little girl. Because she said, I the part that now that's even making it more interesting is that
about the bed.
Didn't she say that, and the little girl waking her up, waking up the person.
Yeah.
Like tapping them on the shoulder.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, and can I just add one more fact?
You can add facts all day.
The cat's name is Ghost. The cat's name is Ghost. Which is just even better.
Yeah, and I mean, and there is a lot of connection there, seeing the fact that, you know, you worked there. I took the cat there.
Right.
We know Creepy Stan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of connection, you know, between
you connect the dots.
What you were saying.
Yeah, we got a picture here, okay?
Put ghosts two and two together.
Yeah. There you go.
Though the only thing
that
I was thinking is, which I couldn't verify, but I guess you could, and at that location, with the girl with the shoes. What do you call those? Like black shoes with the. But I'm thinking, was that a doll?
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so there are dolls within that location that have shoes. Okay, so I don't know if it's still there because I think it might, I don't know, I have to go look. But it was there, and that was the type of shoes that that doll had, and everyone was creeped out by that doll.
Yeah.
You know what doll?
I was thinking my first, no.
It was. It had been in the gift shop for some time, and again got moved back over there. And that building's connected to that, you know. It's moved over to that particular building in right next to, we'll call Creepy Stan's room.
I wonder if the doll moved over. That would be even better if the doll moved over by itself. That would be even more of a tie-in. If the doll was seen walking.
And you know what's even funnier? If I'm recalling correctly, because I was just over there yesterday, I think there's a little pair of shoes in there that are like those she was talking about, that are just the shoes.
Yeah, it's,
now I feel like I almost got to get in the car and drive over there and look right now.
See, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So
you know what's also funny? Those shoes, though, I have a pair of those shoes that I bought in an antique store in Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, they're in my room. But Creepy Stan's not here. That I know of.
Mm-mm.
Today.
You never know.
Watch, I'm going to go in my room and that one doll that I have that has shoes like that will be sitting on my bed again. Watch. I'll be like, okay.
And you'll have a cat? You don't have a cat?
I don't. Although I do have one that hangs out outside my house. But it's not.
Maybe that's the thing.
I don't have a creepy fan, though. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. No, I definitely think there's a pair of shoes like that there, too. That was really cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, she has been a part of Live Paranormal on and off for, like, 13 years. And we always get good reviews whenever she did readings and live shows and stuff. So, yeah,
Well, and, you know, the cold case thing is, like, you know how much I love, like, the ID channel. I often say, if people aren't dying, I'm not sleeping. Hello. This is like, I'm so excited by this.
Well, if you remember, and it was maybe like, what time is it now? It is, so I'm guessing 45 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So 45 minutes ago, I'm assuming you remember 45 minutes ago, when you had asked what sets her apart from other psychics, the first thing I had brought up was the cold cases. Because
right.
I knew that would be,
mm-hmm.
like, your thing. And she actually has
yeah.
The Cold Case Psychic website, .com.
I know. That's, like, awesome.
And she's had
I just went to the website,
was, like,
actually.
The first time around. Yeah, since the first time she was around.
I just went to the website, by the way.
So
coldcasepsychic.com, for those of you who didn't catch it. Yeah, I'm on there now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's right up your alley. I know that you...
Totally. Totally.
I don't know if it's unfortunate, but I know you enjoy those shows, and I know a lot of times you have them on, and,
always,
you know,
have
we
them
watch
on.
Them in our downtime, and
uh-huh.
during our downtime, what I have found is that there is only so many episodes of certain shows that play, and
that's what you
there's
say.
Been many times... It's either that or maybe the rotation of the days that we investigate are always the same, so they always play the same one on a Tuesday, but it's always like a lady who poisoned the coffee, or was poisoned in the coffee pot. And then the guy, which here is funny, and okay, so I forgot to tell you this, and I'm telling you this on air, which is, you know, fine, but it's just not, it's relevant to the story. So I was looking at stuff to get you. And I had found on eBay, I was looking for, like, old wanted posters and stuff. And I found, like, because you could buy, like, clippings and stuff, you know, from, old crime stories and clippings of, like, real newspapers and articles and or wanted posters used to hang in, the mail. What I uncovered was someone had a scrapbook, and they had a scrapbook of all the newspaper articles from that doctor who lived in Ohio, in Mansfield, that bought the house in Erie and buried his old wife, basement of his new house, and then got remarried.
Right, right. I'm familiar with
If you remember
story,
that episode, we saw like 50 times that episode, and someone actually, I don't know why, you know, that's kind of off-putting. It's like to comprehend why someone was following the case that, you know, content, like, so amazing. But there was on eBay, someone selling a scrapbook with all of the clippings from that case. So I meant to tell you.
Okay, so now
like,
you
cool
need to look up Creepy
stuff.
Ed and see if someone did, like, a newspaper compilation thing of, like...
Yeah, to me, like, the doctor from Mansfield that went to Erie, that was, like, in the 90s.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not super
yeah.
cool and old. Like, I think the ones that are from, like, the 1800s and stuff, which you can find, and I've been trying to, you know, find some for you because I thought they were cool. because I saw like old wanted posters and stuff. There was a show that was like the it was like an artifact. It's almost like that haunted mm-hmm. museum or the museum show, the history mysteries in the museum. And there was a book, a scrapbook that was bought mm-hmm. in a antique shop that was all mm-hmm. old wanted posters and pictures that, and it was from a sheriff back from like the early 1900s. Ooh. And it was really cool. So I was looking at that. I was like, that would be a cool gift because you watch those shows.
Oh, totally.
To the point that it's annoying. And I'm sorry to say it, but it's
annoying. It's really awesome.
You know,
it's
like
super cool. Right.
Like I enjoy watching sports because it's like, you don't know the outcome ahead of time. I mean, you can kind of predict the outcome. But, like, we've seen mm-hmm. the doctor from Mansfield that killed his wife and buried her in the new house that he had his new mm-hmm. wife, girlfriend, sign the papers and fraudulent. And like, we've seen that episode, like, 20 times. And you're like, it's on again. You're like, awesome. You know, and, like, I'm like, oh,
right.
my God.
I get excited.
This is the 25th time we're watching. He's still killing her. He's still putting her in the basement.
It's still
it's
happening.
Yeah.
But it's so cool.
It's still in Erie, Pennsylvania. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Not going to change.
Yeah. No, that part won't. You're right. I don't know. What
still
can
dead.
I say? If it's people who are ghosts or becoming ghosts, I'm kind of into it. I know some people think that's weird, but what I like it.
No, it's not weird. And it's funny because actually, like, in my job as a real estate agent, I get the benefit every so often, like I did today, to go to location or a house that, you know, it's just bizarre. And, you know,
yeah.
a lot of people are like, hey, that's just bizarre. And you know what's funny? The people in my office were like, hey, this is really weird. This one's – get in the car. Let's go. Like, I was the first one they thought, like, hey,
yeah.
this won't be weird to you.
For
and
you.
And then we were in
right.
there, and I was like, yeah, I was – what does that mean for you, first of all, and second?
Yeah, you were
know,
like, wait, what?
The guy,
yeah.
Yeah, the guy just
yeah,
died.
No, that
he was
really
there
cool,
for like,
I think,
like yeah. 3 or 4 days. And
yeah.
The story, though, like, it's just kind of weird.
It was really
and
cool.
The guy was kind of weird. And they didn't disappoint going to the house.
No.
You know, so
that was pretty neat. Yeah. But see,
yeah.
we're probably the only people who would say that. Like you just said, like, but yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is I had sent you a video and I cut it super short, which you made sure to tell me.
Yeah, you did. Which I was like, dude, this is really short. But the funniest part was your coworker.
So I get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
That's the part you're talking about.
The part,
yeah.
let's get
so,
the
like,
hell
I'm
out
just,
of here. That was just so funny. I'm
yeah,
like dying. I was dying
take,
watching it.
I'm taking the video, sitting there, and like I'm just like taking my time walking through, and he's like, we need to get the hell out of here. And I was like,
yeah,
I guess.
It was priceless. It was great. It made my heart warm. I laughed at that. Although it was really, really short. You cut it really, really close.
Because that was the part that What I found interesting was I was doing the video, shooting the video. We had that in the background, and you can hear me talking, but then you hear, like, a heavy breathing. I don't know if you heard that or not.
I didn't have my headphones on, but I think I was more focused on your coworker and what they said, so it
right.
distracted me totally. So I definitely need to listen. I tried to listen more than one time, but every time I just caught myself laughing toward the end, so I probably laughed over it. But I'm sorry. It was just so funny. Let's get the hell out of here. It was amazing. Oh, yeah, it was good.
Well, and the one benefit there is I will get extra, I get a higher commission rate because I'm the only one that was, like, willing to go in.
Willing to do
go
it.
In. Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
The funny thing is, and I guess it's not too funny, but in the current real estate market, you have these houses that people have died in. There's been triple murder houses and stuff, and they're selling same day just like any other house because the inventory is so low. Like there was a triple murder house that there was no way that in like any time before now it would never have sold. Like it would have been on the market forever. And it actually went on the market, and people, like I had a couple of customers that didn't want to see it because it was the triple murder house, and it sold the same day. You know, so it's a very interesting real estate market. It's like, no one cares anymore.
Clearly.
People die in there, all right, you know. Triple murder house.
They're like,
yeah,
but I really want a house.
We just need a house. It's a triple murder house, and you know, and I'll be honest, like, as much as I do this stuff, you know, we do it all the time. The investigating, we've done it. I've done it for years and years, and we've done thousands of investigations. I don't necessarily know I would want to live in a triple murder house because I don't think I would. I think that I would. Not that I would be, like, intimidated or scared or whatever.
But here's the thing. I would, but I don't think that my kids would appreciate it. Like, I think my kids would have some input on that, and they'd be like, oh, hell no. And I'd be like, but it's a great deal. And they'd be like, I don't care.
Just something,
and I'd be like, but still.
Something off about, like, you know, the guy running with, like, the axe stuck in his head, and you can see him running in the hall at night and stuff. It's just...
It adds character. Character building.
Or the guy was a character, I don't know, but that's all I see.
Whatever,
like guy
based
walking.
On interpretation.
The guy with the axe in his head. The guy axe in his head. I don't even know why, but I guess
you can
that's
just
the,
ask. You can ask him a question.
Yes. You're like, there's the axe guy again walking in the hallway.
Right.
I don't know why, but to me that's the most graphic and the most, like, where you can actually, if it's a guy with, like, a bullet hole in his head, it's not as graphic, like, it's not as funny. And
well, yeah, if the axe is still actively hanging out of his head, it definitely adds more character to it. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
it heightens
totally.
The story.
I get that. Yeah.
It makes
it
sharper.
I mean, this is a guy who's got, you know, sometimes with a bullet hole, you can't necessarily even, like, see what's going on, you know, like.
No.
Can't even tell it's a bullet hole, you know, so, yeah.
With the guy walking
but
like,
I
with the axe in his head. And,
with
and, you know,
the axe.
Like, the axe is bumped, the handle is, like, bumping against the wall and stuff, and he's like, damn it, you know.
Yeah. He's up browned again.
I think we've gone too far.
We're totally, like, it's like 3 a.m. for us.
I don't know how we got here.
I don't know either. It's been a journey.
A journey through cold cases. Yeah, I don't know. You went from cold cases to buying. I mean, it all was relevant. It all was.
Yeah,
I
think it's really interesting. Yeah. It's my morbid personality. Take it over.
Well, you know what? And I didn't ask her. Or I didn't, you know, think to ask her was, I wonder if, because I was just at a house where a guy died recently, you know, if that's something that she does too, like for real estate. Because I know we have a couple of people who do real estate type remote reading.
Investigations, like, yeah.
We'll have to ask her, but... Yeah, I wanted to thank Erica again for coming on, and
looking forward to her show, definitely.
And we will definitely be back next week.
We warned y'all, we'll be back.
Amazing episode of Live Paranormal Radio, and we have so much stuff going on this week, and so much stuff to check us out on social media because it's crazy. So many releases. Releasing so many things and doing
so much awesomeness.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to everybody soon.
Yep. Take care, everyone.
Bye.